Welcome to episode 35 of the Well-Rounded Wealth podcast. Patrick, how are you doing, man?
Good, man. How are you?
Dude, I'm good. I'm good. It's my birthday today. So,
yeah. We got a special guest. a newly aged John Mullen.
Oh, man.
The age is like fine wine.
I was just saying earlier, like 24 is it's the first number where I'm like, this is not a fun number to be. I don't know how I feel about 24. 21 was awesome. 22, I was like, all right, now I'm not fresh 21. 23, I was like, oh, okay, cool. And normal. 24, I'm like, shit, I'm just an adult.
It's life.
I am no longer a child at all. I still look 12, so at least I have that going for me. But here we are, 24. It's chill. I have a question for you, because I'm like getting, you know, like the nice birthday messages and the texts and stuff. Do you ever get overwhelmed by that stuff?
You definitely probably get way more than I do.
I don't know.
I think last birthday, I get a few, but like you definitely keep, I think, more in touch with people. I'm also very bad with birthdays.
Gotcha.
Yesterday, but I don't know. I don't think I get overwhelmed by it.
For me, also, like, family. Like, I have a big family, so like I always am getting that stuff. No, because there's people I have to get back to.
Yeah.
Like, I feel like right now they're like, oh, okay, Hotshot didn't respond, and I'm like, no, I'm recording a podcast, I'll respond soon.
I mean, that's the thing nowadays too. It's, we've definitely gotten so habituated to answer right away, and I'm so bad about that, and used to be way worse, but I don't think you need to answer right away.
Yeah, I mean, so I did great on all the morning ones I got, but then at around 5 o'clock, you know, because everyone's getting off of work, I got a lot of texts, but then I was setting up for this, and I was like, I can't respond right now. I just can't. I'll get to them. I'll get to, like, after this, I'm just going to be like, thank you.
Yeah. And I mean, that's the thing too. It's, I would rather you not respond for a few hours and then actually say, like, thank you, I hope everything's going well, like, something personal instead of just thinking.
Yeah. That's the other thing. Like, with whenever I get birthday texts, like, you can't just be like, and you as well. No.
Yeah. It's like walking in the gym. Have a good workout. Yep. You too.
Yeah.
I'm working at the front desk.
Cause you like, you that. Just, I'm the type of person, whenever I get like stuff like that, like, I always want to like be able to throw it right back. Like, have a good one. You too.
Yep.
But you can't do that for birthday. So you have to be like, thank you, and I heard you're doing great. Heck yeah, you rascal.
Just appreciate it.
And I do like always want it to like be like a personal response. Like, I don't want it just be like a thank you.
Yeah, I get that.
Yeah,
definitely the reciprocity in there. But awesome. Well, what are we talking about today?
We're talking about kind of an interesting proposition I made. I was just kind of thinking about this. It's pretty common. I feel like you and I have talked about it off camera before, but I was thinking about like financial prosperity and just kind of that idea of kind of having to pay your dues before you can enjoy things, like a little suffering before enjoyment and pleasure. So I was wondering if you think that you kind of need to hit like a financial hit a big struggle to strike gold and to hit it big, or do you not? Can you just cruise?
Well, I think I'm sure there's exceptions to each side. You know, someone takes a big risk and breaks them forever, whereas someone takes a relatively small risk, nothing ever goes bad, and it all works out. But I do believe that you need, in order to know what is good, you have to go through something bad. Same thing with, like, in order to know what is easy, you have to know what is hard. So you have the perspective of having like being able to realize what these two dichotomies are, and just it really to get perspective on where you are in the journey. And that's, I think, what we're kind of talking about right now is, all right, seems like both of us are in like the down shitty side of things. And it's, you know, it would be great to see that, the easy part sometime.
Yeah. Yeah. Honestly, I think maybe part of it, why I thought of that, was just to maybe feel a little better about the present. Just like, oh, well, things are tough now because they have to be. And I have to go through that for it to be good later on. And yeah. I think there's just that fear in the back of your head. Like, what if it's just like this forever?
Dude, I've gone through the same thing in the past 2 weeks. Because it's just like, you just get hit with one punch. And then another one. And you're like, another one. It's like, all right, give me a break.
Yeah, definitely.
But I think you're going to be able to look back. And we're going to be able to look back and be like, damn. We went through that. Like, that was sick. And I think there's really good imagery from Chris Williamson. He's like, do you really remember the times in college when, you know, you were just walking into class, like, monotonous? Or do you remember those nights where you're staying up till like 1 a.m. cramming for a test before you forgot to study for it, or cramming for a project because you delayed it and you had to order Papa John's and or pizza and stay up with your buddies and knock it out or something like that? Like, do you remember those hard times, or do you remember the monotonous ones? So I think it's a chapter in your story.
I've had so many of those. I've had so many of those, dude. I wrote my like final college research thesis paper in like a day and churned it in like seconds before it would have been overdue.
Oh my God.
And I got a B, and I'll tell you what. It sure wasn't an A paper. I got to be on that thing. And I said, yeah, that's fair. That's fair.
I'll take it.
I was like, I'll take it. There were a few. I even like reread it the next day. I was like, oh shit, there's like some grammatical errors in here. Because I had to write it so fast. It was like 22 pages and I wrote it like a day. So of course there were grammatical errors in there.
The things you can do when you just have a time crunch are wild. Your body just turns into overdrive mode and you just knock shit out. It's awesome.
Yeah, I wish there and was that was an overhype. It wasn't like all the work was done in a day. Like, there were some copy and paste elements I had on that final day, but as far as the actual final paper, there was pretty much nothing.
Those are fun projects, though. Like, you look back and you're like, yeah, I probably shouldn't have done that, but I did do it.
That's so
true. And it's a fun story. And I think that's any hard time is something you'll be able to look back on and be like, yeah, that was ass, but it made a great story. And if you look at it like a character arc, you're going through the tough phase, the lonely phase, the getting hit left and right phase. So what specifically triggered that?
I'll say this. A lot of people that I feel like have success stories also have a journey to success story. And there's always that classic story of like, I started at the bottom. I had nothing. I was practically living on the streets. But because of my hard work and endurance, now I'm a billionaire. Obviously, not the exact story that they all have. Well, like, that's the cookie cutter piece, right? That's the exaggerated version of what they all say. I started with nothing and it was hard. It was a struggle. But the struggle made me who I am today. And that's why I'm a freaking baller now. That's what they all say.
I mean, there's a lot, and I think consider it from your listener's perspective too. Are you more intrigued? Or are you more engaged with the guy who's like, yeah, I just had it easy. Mom and dad gave me everything. I just, you know, invested.
And do you ever
bit.
Think that those stories maybe are slightly exaggerated and that maybe they did have more help and support than they let on?
Yeah, for sure. I think some of them are, it's relative. So
yeah,
for someone who grew up with millionaire parents and living a super luxury life, if they had $10,000 in their bank account, they'd feel broke. And it's all respective to your lifestyle and how your habituated to, you know, live. Mm-hmm. So if you can't, if the person who gets to eat a five-star dinner and meal every day does no longer gets to eat that, then they're going to be like, oh my God, I'm broke. Whereas the person who literally doesn't have any money is like, I'm broke. And I heard this the other day, which was interesting. Those two people, those two feelings of being broke are the same. They're not the same situationally, but emotionally they can feel the same.
Actually makes sense.
Yeah. Like a person who is hurt, but who is minorly hurt, say you got a cut or something like that, but they've never felt any more severe pain. Like that's the most severe pain they've ever felt. That is going to feel like the end of the world to them. Whereas the person who's gone through a lot, but then gets their, I don't know, leg shot off or something, like that's going to be their new version of the most painful thing. So it's not ones and zeros. It's relative to where you are. And I think that's goes to say the same with financials and being able to, you know, hit rock bottom, quote unquote, before you kind of make it big.
Yeah. I've also heard a lot of, you know, we all have heard this, but how important failure is, that it's super important on your journey. You learn the most from your failures, the most from your mistakes. So another part of that was like, okay, well, do I need to really F up? So
you're just gonna go commit a crime. It's like, all right, I fucked up. I gotta get it.
Time to learn from this. But no, because I'm like, well, what if, I don't know, what are there people out there that maybe had some barriers and road bumps along the way? Because it's impossible not to, especially if your aspirations are high. Yeah. And I guess that's the relative thing. But, you know, I feel like you don't have to necessarily be in severe financial crisis mode or life crisis mode to get from point A to point B.
Yeah, it's definitely, I mean, at the end of the day, it's more of a trigger for a mindset. So there might be some people who they don't have to go through this. I'm sleeping on the floor. I have $100 left in my bank account kind of thing in order to get, like, change their mindset to feel like they're backed into the corner and they just have to go all the time. Whereas there might be someone who's out there that has a ton of potential, but in order to start progressing on that potential curve, they have to go to rock bottom in order to spark this change in their mind, in order to get themselves going.
Yeah. I think that's just one thing that, so I have heard the, you know, the Dwayne Johnson story, like, so I had negative 12 cents in my bank account.
Yep.
I'm like, dude, but like, did you, bro? I don't know. He might've, it could be true that at one point that number could have been true, but I'm like, I just don't feel like you need to get it. It needs to get that bad.
Yeah, it probably doesn't need to, for sure. I mean, there's a ton of successful people who, you know, haven't been broke.
Yeah.
I think,
honestly, the majority haven't, and we just haven't heard their stories.
Yeah. I think it's a very good story to tell, though, because I think it's very relatable. Because everyone knows the feeling of taking a risk. And I think that is what is so relatable, is that, hey, I took a risk. It didn't work, but I bounced back. So it gives everyone hope to know that despite who you are, you can go to zero and claw your way back. I mean, I think the best example, you want to look at a broad class of people, look at immigrants that come from like Africa or Israel right now, or Iran or Iraq or Syria or something like that. It's just having the opportunistic mindset to say, I'm going to go out and just make it work. Because I'm not, it's either I do that or I fall down where I am and don't get up. So,
yeah.
So I think that's what's so much more relatable with the broad amount of people.
Yeah. I think it's definitely great for inspiration, motivation. Kind of, even though it's bad, it could always be worse. And if you get back up, that's all that matters. And if you keep going,
regardless. Yeah. And, you know, actually, I think it gives people who listen to those stories a sense of control, because at the end of the day, those people, most of the times you hear their story and they get out of it by doing hard work and just working and working and working. And everyone is capable of doing that. So that's within one, everyone's will. It's definitely less relatable for the people like Zuckerberg or Bill Gates, because they had a ton of, even though obviously they created great things and had their own respective hardships, they had a very cushy thing to fall back on. I mean, Bill Gates' dad was like the top lawyer in Seattle or something like that. So if he failed, one, I think if he failed, he didn't have anything to worry about because he was going to be taken care of. And two, it also gives him, you know, if you can have the mindset like this, it gives you the opportunity to approach whatever you want to with a very clear mindset, knowing that if I take this risk, I don't have as much downside.
Yeah, that's a good point. It's like, you don't have rock bottom to fear. So why not try to strike gold? Because really, in that kind of situation, it's never going to be the end of the world.
Yeah. Yeah. Where do you feel like you're at right now?
I mean, not rock bottom. I was rock bottom a year ago when I first moved out here, because I was like, I think I was at about almost $0 in the bank account. Like, after like paying my first month of rent, I was like, oh, I don't have any money. Isn't that goofy?
Did you screenshot it?
No.
Oh, I was, you should have.
I should have.
That would have been awesome.
It wasn't zero. It was like 21 or something. Like, it was something outrageously low.
Yeah.
I was like, oh fuck. That was actually, I'll share this. That was the one time my credit card saved me. Not because I didn't pay my statement, but because I like kind of split it where like I spent some stuff out of my checking, especially because we just moved. So we had to like buy some things. And I put some other stuff on my credit to push to like give me an extra month to pay everything off. And then I spent like no money the next month on my credit card at all. So then I was able to pay off the credit card. I was like doing that for my first 2 months just to like split up payments a little bit. Now I'm at a place where the second my statement comes in, I can pay it off. So like, I don't like delay paying my statement.
Or interest or anything.
Yeah. And I never accrued interest. But it was like the last day I could pay my statement in full. Cause like, you have a month to pay the statement, right? You know what I mean?
Yeah.
So like, it was like the last day of the month. Like, I would get it in. Like, I could not have paid the statement later or else I would have accrued interest, if that makes sense.
Yeah. I think
would never want to give advice to people to use credit cards, especially if you don't understand it. I was fortunate enough to like have a dad who taught me like how they work and what happens if you don't pay the statement and all that stuff. So I was able to actually do it somewhat smart, but yeah, it saved me at first.
Saved you a bit. Yeah. I think being able to look back at like a slideshow of those stories would be awesome. And yeah. I started doing that with my condo. I mean, finally my kitchen's done, but everything else has been just covered with dust. I'm living in a half-baked construction zone. And I'm like, you know what? This sucks, but this will be fun to tell in a year or two, something like that. And, you know, I'm starting to feel the financial thing too. It's just like, I want something to work.
Yeah, I get it, man. Dude, I'll say this. When you asked if I screenshot my bank account, you want to know the main reason I did it was shame. I was not proud of that. It's like fine looking back at now, but dude, in the moment when it was actually happening, I was like, this sucks. I was like, I'm such a loser. You know what I mean?
And I'm not saying use this forever, right? But the reminder of that pain can be so motivating to be like, all right, I'm never going back there. Like, ever. This shit sucks. Like, I don't want to be there. And I mean, I've done that with other forms, but I think, you know, you expand your time horizon, say 3 years from now, and you're comfortable and, you know, you're sitting around with a group of buddies and you get to tell what was your hardest time, and you get to pull out that story. everyone's like, damn, like, let's go. Like, this man came back from nothing and, you know, made it work. I think that's what's, that creates such a visceral connection between people, because I think a lot of people, you know, relatively know what it's like to feel like they have nothing or nothing going for them or no one around them. Like, everyone knows what relatively what nothing is.
Yeah. Yeah, totally. Oh. And it can look, you can make it look good on the outside, but it's actually crazy. Because, like, the apartment I lived in year one was a pretty nice place. I'm still in the same complex. This new apartment's nice as well. But that first one, dude, I couldn't even enjoy it for, like, the first 6 months. Because I kept being like, oh, man, I don't deserve this place. Once I was paying my bills and could, like, cover all my bills, I was like, all right. But I was still, like, barely getting by. So it was, even when you do have, like, nice things like that. Like, I remember someone was like, oh, like, you live in the 915? Like, that's so awesome. You must be doing so well. And I was like, ha no. Just because someone has nice things does not necessarily mean they're doing well. And it wasn't even, some people try to project it. I wasn't even trying to project it. It's just where me and Cole ended up living.
Yeah. Yeah. I think that's another point, you know, you make is what is like your mindset of being around being rock bottom, especially in America. I mean, we look around and do we have nothing or do we think we have nothing? Sure. But if you look around, it's like, all right, I have a roof over my head. I can access water and I have a bed. Like, a lot of people in the world would be like, wow, you're lucky. And yet we
all, like, we get to live like kings.
Yeah, it's we get to live for kings relatively cheap. Yet we still have this psychological struggle feeling like we have nothing. And I'm glad we're talking about this, because I had to take that whole mindset this weekend too, because I haven't been present with what I do have.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And it's, I'm not saying it's easy, because it is a psychological, like, brain fuck. But, you know, looking around and looking back at what you've built or how far you've come, at least for me, has been pretty liberating. And it's like, all right, I'm struggling, but I'm grateful for the path I've been here to get to this point to allow me to the struggle in the first world way I am.
Yeah. I mean, definitely. It really helps to think about that. I think gratitude keeps us going more than anything. And I think we've talked about this before, but it is just finding that balance of being grateful for what you do have, but then not letting that just stop you. Like, kind of trying to find that. It's just finding a way to enjoy the struggle. So it's kind of continuing to struggle, but also having some gratitude at the same time and being grateful for where you are in the moment, even though you know that it's not where you want to be forever.
What do you think the best framework is in order to be able to appreciate the moment you're in right now is?
You know, it's actually kind of a cheesy answer, but I think it's starting the day and waking up and just moment of gratitude, you know. If you're into prayer, do prayer. If you're in meditation, do meditation. And just be like, wow, like, I'm awake this morning. I have a roof over my head. I have a bed. I have great things. I can get access to food and water right now. So lucky to be here. Let's get after it today.
I didn't do that.
And I don't always do that every morning, but some mornings I do. And it's just kind of, you wake up and you're like, yeah, I am. Look at how lucky I am. I'm awake again. I'm in an air-conditioned apartment, nice bed, get to take a shower, like something that 100 years ago, so many people didn't even have access to.
Freak.
yeah, exactly. So, and it sounds so cheesy and lame, but I actually think it does help the framework a lot. It helps you be grateful, but then you're also like, all right, but time to get after it.
Yep.
And then you just try to put in some more input. I did that this morning. Especially, it helped because it's my birthday today. So I also just have people I love reaching out to me like, happy birthday. I'm like, wow. I'm so lucky. I have people that care enough about me to wish me a happy birthday.
Yeah.
Boom. So like today was really easy, but because it was today's particular day. But yeah, I think that's the best way to do it. And yeah, I've struggled with enjoying the struggle though. For example, when I was working at my most recent restaurant, I was like, God, I'm working at a restaurant. This isn't what I want to be doing. What if I'm doing this forever? This sucks. And now I'm not. And then I picked up a shift the other weekend and I had the most fun ever. I had so much fun at that restaurant. It's not even funny. But it's because it's like, I didn't have that fear of like, this is what I'm going to be doing forever.
Yeah.
And I was like, I'm just coming back to pick up a shift to make some extra money. This is great. And I was like, oh, and everyone here is so nice. I honestly like the people, like I connect with the people more than the people at my current job. It's just more social environment in general.
Mm-hmm.
But then I looked back and I was like, I should have appreciated my time here more when I was here. Damn it.
Yeah. That's hard. I think it's really hard to do because your blinders are on when you're struggling.
Mm-hmm.
Because you can only see what's directly in front of you. Because you're like, I have to, you know, if you're stuck in a hole, you're like, I have to get out of this hole. I can't think of like, wow, when I get out of this hole and don't die, I'll be super grateful for that.
Right, right.
It's like, no, okay, I have to use what fuel I have right now to just drive. And I think that's a potent fuel. I think maybe
great
one of the things that I'm trying to do is like imagine myself in 10, 20, 30 years and be like, all right, do I want to be someone who didn't do the hard thing? Or do I want to like continue trying to like build this badass character and make myself a little personal hero?
That's the other thing too. For me, it was also the fear of complacency just in general. Cause while I was like, oh, I should have enjoyed my time at the restaurant more while I was there. Well, maybe if I did enjoy my time at the restaurant more while I was there, I wouldn't have been as inclined to keep pushing. Cause I would have been like, oh yeah, this is great. I'll stay here forever.
Well, I think that's a trait of highly successful people is they're never complacent. And the three most common traits of highly successful people are fear of insecurity or insufficiency, that they won't be enough, a hunger to achieve something more, and then focus and consistency on that one thing. So to your point, I think you see a vision of yourself or the person you want to be, and if it's not where you want to be, say like working that restaurant job, if you know you can be more, that's going to trigger that fear of insufficiency or that fear of just not being enough. And I think it's hard. It takes a toll on your mind for sure. Especially I think if you attach it to something material, which I think is the big flaw that a lot of people do, is they keep working and keep working to get more stuff and more stuff. And then they realize at the end of their life, they're like, I just have stuff.
Yeah. Yeah.
So
that totally happens.
Yeah. Well,
yeah.
When you look back at, put yourself in the shoes of you in 10 years, when you look back, what are you going to be like? Damn, that was, even though it sucked at the moment in time, it was kind of fun.
I'd say I'm never going to forget walking through the city streets of Atlanta with printed out resumes in my hand and just walking to restaurants being like, hey, can you hire me? That's definitely something I'm never gonna forget. That'll forever stick with me. I was just like, whoa, this is crazy. And and how hard it was for me to get a job at a restaurant at first. And I was almost, and I learned a lot about myself. Like, one, to have in my head, I wasn't projecting it, but like, I definitely had some arrogance. I was like, I have a bachelor's degree from a solid institution. of course I could be a waiter. Of course I can work here. You'd be an idiot not to hire me. Like, in my head. But honestly, that's not true. That's not true. I mean, I have been a waiter before, so I still kind of knew I would do a good job. But I mean, someone who's been in the restaurant game forever, no degree, is going to be so much better in the restaurant game than someone with a bachelor's degree from college.
Yeah.
So like that I definitely learned. And even for a job that I didn't even necessarily want, I had to really, really push hard for it. I had to keep show. The one I ended up getting, I went to that restaurant about 5 times in person before they were, I probably were just like, all right, this guy keeps showing up. He's got some passion. Let's give him, we'll hire him, sure.
That's Isn't it totally crazy to see like what your mind and body will do when you just have so much pain or drive to something where it's like, look, man, I don't care what everyone else thinks. Like, I need this. Like, it doesn't even become a want anymore. It's like, I have to do this.
Yeah, so. Totally. And I almost don't want that for stuff that I really want to do as a career. Like, I would never want to do that as that. I would never want to be a desperate actor.
Yeah.
That sounds awful. And that doesn't help you. If you're auditioning and you appear desperate, they're not going to want to hire you. They're going to want to hire the person who's like got confidence and has their shit together and is just doing their thing.
Yeah, I think you can brute force your way through only a few things in life. And acting is probably not one of them, because you're not the one controlling what you do. It's more the writer, but I mean, like, I would say there's a lot of industries where you can do that, though.
I actually, even mine to a degree.
Yeah. Even acting, you can be like, hey, I mean, a lot of people, I think, do it. Like, I will be what is it? The people that help a stage helper.
Like a stagehand?
Yeah. No.
Or a PA, like on a set.
Yeah. I'll be a PA. I'll work for free. Like, I'll be there before everyone. I'll leave after everyone. Or it's like, in a real estate, like, I will be, here's everything I know, like, for free. Like, here's what I can do for you. Anything that you need taken off your plate, just hand it to me. I'll figure it out. Like, and at the end of the day, if you need something, you're probably going to figure out a way to get it. If you need water, you're going to find a way to drink, or you're going to die. So I think the closer you can tie whatever the thing that you need is to your fear of, to a fear of it progressing down to your death. I mean, I think the harder you are going to work for it.
Yeah, definitely.
So
easily.
Someone puts a gun to your head, you're going to go do whatever.
Yeah, exactly. I'm literally thinking about it, looking back of how desperate I was for work, for a job. And yeah, that was the hardest I was working for a job back then. But then also, I think what did help me get the job that I do have now was a little more security and confidence.
Do you feel like, where do you feel your complacency level is? If you have one.
I think it's pretty high. I mean, we'll probably talk about this more on the next episode, but I was just on a TV show, which is like the dream. And I have never been less. I'm like, that's not enough, dude. Like, because I did an Instagram post about being on the show English Teacher, and like, it was amazing. It was incredible to just have a small part in that show. And I'll forever be proud of being Jacques number 3. And I'm so honored. I like legitimately so honored. But I'm like, okay, now people know I'm actually going for this. Because I've been like a little, I talked about on this podcast. And I've been kind of like, you've known, my circle's known, my close family has known. But now I'm like, I did that Instagram post and I was like, shit, like, the jig is up. People know I'm going for it.
I love it.
So now I'm like, now I have to do it. Now I have to succeed. Now I can't, this can't be it. At least for me, that's how I feel. I'm like, I have to do more. I have to keep going. I have to keep pushing. It might be a couple years before I even have a role like that again. We'll talk about it on the next episode on how that all came to be. It was definitely a lucky break to a degree, for sure. I didn't even have an agent. So it was a lucky break. It was huge. So fortunate. But now I'm like, oh God, like now people know like this is what I love to do. People can see me in like this episode. I'm like, I have to keep going now. Shit. Now if I don't, if I just stop now, I'm a fraud. That's how I feel on the inside.
I mean, it's almost like a way of holding yourself accountable, especially like putting it out there. It's like, this is what I'm going for. It's like, yeah. And I think that's pretty admirable. It's being able to put your dreams out there.
Yeah. Thank you.
Definitely look up to you for that.
Yeah. And it's been fun. So many people have been so nice reaching out to me. So that's been, it's been amazing. It was really cool to just see some people reach out being like, you always talked about wanting to do that. Now you did it. That's so cool. And I'm like, oh, thanks, man. But in my head, I'm like, oh God, like this can't be it. You know what I mean? Like, I don't want to just be like, oh, he did that one thing. And then he stopped.
You got it. I know you got stuff in the work.
I mean, that's literally next on the list. And we had some leeway with that. We'll see what happens here. But that's definitely next on the list. That's actually going to be like my main thing this week besides my actual job.
I love it.
Yeah. How are you doing? Like, what's been cooking lately? You've been busy as hell.
Yeah. Too much.
Too much.
It's just been a whirlwind of, I think I put too much stuff on my plate. And that's why I'm feeling like the back into the corner. Mm-hmm. Because I have too much stuff externally taking up my time, which is causing me to spin my wheels internally. And then on top of that, with this condo, we had a water main break this past weekend. So I didn't have any water for a little bit. And then my AC went out it's still out. So it's a little toasty in here.
Oh, but, my God. Oh, that hurt. I hurt for you. I'm sorry.
It's, I feel like money is just going out the door and just trying to wrap up this renovation. So it's like I'm spinning my wheels right now. But you know what? I took some pictures of it. I'll be able to look back and be like, all right, this was the worst of it. Not bad, but it could get worse and you can get through it. I'm still alive.
So. Dude, for the exact kind of anecdote that you were talking about, flipping houses is perfect for like thinking back to the beginning of it and what it used to be like, because you get to see that stuff at its worst.
Yeah, I know you got to see, well, especially the one that Cole and I did.
Yeah, I mean,
that wasn't as stressful, but damn, that house was rough.
Yeah, I saw pictures of that from both you and Cole of how it looked at the beginning, and y'all did such a great job with that. Like good for y'all. That's, and I bet you guys learned so much, like actually flipping a house, actually, because you guys were like communicating with contractors to come like with electrical and all that stuff, right? Sorry, forgive my novice level of intelligence on this.
Yep. So talking to them about what to do, and then we were in there actually doing stuff. So yeah, it's, I think you know, when I talk about frameworks, I think I focus too much on building the person I wanted to be instead of actually looking at who I am right now. I'm talking about this present, and that's a fault, because if you're always looking at who you're going to be, you can never appreciate who you are. And that's that big gap of, hey, you have some desire of who you want to be, but if you have a desire, you're never going to be truly happy, because it's a gap between where you are and where you want to be.
That's a great point. That's a very great point.
So for everyone listening, think of who you want to be, but also respect who you are right now. It's my advice. And my advice to myself. I need to continue remembering.
I kind of had that personal realization because for the English teacher episode that came out, when I watched it, I always thought, wow, by the time that I thought this was going to happen, which I didn't expect that had to happen until way later down the line, like see myself on TV, I thought to myself, I thought I'd be a different person, but I'm not. I was like, I'm still just me. And that kind of hit heavy, because I was like, even if this happened 5 years down the line, we change and we grow and we further develop values and conviction, but the end of the day, we're still the same people throughout our whole lives. We just further develop and better ourselves. You can change, but the essence of ourselves, you're still, no matter what happens to you, I think you're still just going to feel like you.
Yeah. I think this is a little iteration of a Lewis, something Lewis Capaldi said, but you know, as you continue to grow, you're still the same person. It's just the people around you change and how they view you and what they think of you.
So Lewis Capaldi, he's the singer, right?
Yeah. He had a quote. It was,
he's cool. He's really cool.
Yeah. He's got a great story, but his quote was, money and fame don't change you. They just change the people around you.
I'm sure. I could totally imagine that.
Yeah, you want to wrap it there?
I think we should wrap it there. That's a great
point. That's a good point to wrap it on. That's the pod, folks.
But yeah, I wasn't going to mention the show I was in because I do want to do a full episode on that. But we will do an episode on that if anyone's listening and curious if we're going to talk about it. I've had some people ask me if we're going to talk about it. So that will be coming. We promise.
Check out Jack on IMBD.
Yeah. I still am working on claiming that credit. But yeah, if you don't know, I'd be surprised. I'd imagine most of the listeners know us pretty well. But if you don't know, I had a very small part in this show called English Teacher on FX. You can stream it on Hulu and Disney Plus if you're so inclined to check it out. It was the second episode that I featured in. But check out the whole show. It's a really well-written, creative, funny show. So yeah, that's pretty much all I got. And thank you guys for listening to this all the time whenever we drop episodes. We appreciate you and we love you. If you haven't left a 5-star review or a comment and you're inclined to do so, please feel free to do so. That stuff really does help. I know we say it all the time, but we say it all the time because it's true. And we love you guys so much and we appreciate you as always.
Peace.